Well, it's good to be with you again. As I've mentioned before, I always enjoy coming down to the island to speak. I was hoping, since the island is a little more south than Sault Ste. Marie, that it'd be a little warmer, but it's not. But anyway, it won't be long. It'll be over and we'll be looking for some cool place to sit in the shade. And I guess the important thing is just to enjoy the day that the Lord has given to us, because he has been good to us. And I'd like to have you consider this morning the idea of choices. We're living in a world where it seems like choice is increasing. There seems to be so many more choices than when I was a boy. And as we experience what they refer to as the information explosion and the use of the internet and worldwide commerce and all of these new things, it just seems like we're bombarded with choices that we have to make. And of course, there are some things that we have no choice in. We had no choice in the day of our birth. And we have no choice in the day of our death. But in between those two, between the day of our birth and the day of our death, then life is filled with choices. And we have to choose which way it is that we're going to go. And I believe that we're living in a world where the truth, thank God, is still being presented, but at the same time, it seems like lies are increasing, and people are faced with trying to decide what is the truth and what's a lie and which way is it that I'm going to go. And sometimes these lies that are being presented are, well, they're so close to the truth that it's hard to decide what is really true and what is a lie. And it seems no matter where you turn, there seems to be so many options. I was down in Traverse City a couple of weeks ago for a couple of nights. And so, you know how when you're just sitting in a motel room, and so one of the things I sort of automatically seem to do is grab the remote control and start flicking to see, you know, what's on the TV. And so I was flicking through the channels, and I came to this one channel, and it was called Hope TV. And I'm not sure if you have watched it or not, but there was a gentleman, I'll call him, on there, and he was interviewing somebody else, and this other person had a claim that he had been to heaven and that he had come back again. And so he was giving his description of heaven, and they had pictures and everything to go along with what he was saying, and a lot of the things just didn't make sense to me. But I mean, how are people going to discern? You know, had this guy been to heaven? Well, I don't believe him. I thought it was a lie. But he was presenting it as the truth. And then the next night I was flicking through and I hit the same channel, and there was another gentleman on there, and he was offering people bottles of curing water. And if only they would send him a little money, and he would send them a bottle of curing water, and they would be cured of whatever their disease was. And I thought, what a mixed up world we're living in. But you know, the sad thing is that there would be lots of people who would be sending him their hard-earned cash, and they would be getting bottles of tap water. The world is filled with lies. And it's important for you and I to be able to discern between what is the truth and what is not the truth, and to make important choices. Now, as I was thinking of choices. I see if I can get this. There it is. I went and I looked at some sites, and I looked at a couple of, you know, just secular sites to see what they had about to say about choices. And some things that they said were pretty good. The first one there, they said of all the valuable life skills, and so they look at making choice as being a life skill that a person can develop. The ability to make wise choices ranks at the very top. And I'm sure that we would all agree with that. It says that there's no other skill that can have such a dramatic impact on the quality of life. And yet, society seems to be plagued with bad choices or bad decision makers. And I thought, well, I agree with that. And then the next one that I came across that I kind of liked is the second one there, where it says our life is the expression of decisions and indecisions. In other words, what you are today depends a lot on choices that you have made in the past. And I agree with that as well. You know, there are choices that I have made. Some have been good choices and some of them perhaps not so good, but I'm living today with choices that I made in the past. And I can make a choice today that I'll need to live with for the rest of my life. And so that's why it's so important. No matter what age we are at, no matter where we are at in life, we need to make choices that are important. And then, of course, there are some choices that really aren't all that important. You know, there are choices that we have to make every day. They were just bombarded with them. And sometimes it really doesn't matter which choice you make. Like, sometimes in the morning, Ruth will say to me, well, do you want granola or do you want toast? So I have to make a choice. Since it's homemade bread, I like the toast, but then I like the granola. And I don't really think it matters all that much. So one day I'll take the toast, the next day I might take granola, and what does it matter? But it's a choice. But there are other choices that are much more important. And there are some choices that even have eternal consequences. And when you start talking about choices that have eternal consequences, then you're talking about very important choices, because they're not only going to affect you in life, but they're going to affect you in eternity as well. And I was thinking of a couple of characters that we read of in the New Testament that made choices that were eternal choices. And I'm sure that most of you, if not all, are familiar with these gentlemen. You read about them in the book of Acts. And the Apostle Paul is brought before them, and they were leaders in that day. And the one man, his name was Felix. And Paul was brought in before the leader Felix, and he was giving a defense of the gospel. And as Felix listened to the gospel, and he considered the gospel, the scriptures tell us that it made him tremble. In other words, it had an effect upon him. It had a grip upon him. But Felix, sitting there listening to Paul, he made a decision. And his decision was to send Paul away. He had heard enough. And he told Paul, he said, you can leave now. And when I have a convenient season, I will listen to you again. But we never read in the scriptures of where Felix had a convenient season. It would seem from scripture that this was Felix's final opportunity, and he listened to the gospel and he turned against it. And if Felix never turned back and listened to the gospel again and made a choice to believe the gospel, then Felix is eternally damned because of the decision, because of the choice that he made that day. And then the other person that I was thinking of, we read of in Acts chapter 26. And that was a king. His name was Agrippa. And again, Paul was speaking to Agrippa, and Paul was proclaiming to Agrippa the claims of the gospel. He was telling Agrippa of his need of Jesus Christ, his need of salvation. And Agrippa was sitting there and he was listening intently to what Paul had to say. And it was as if he was almost going to make the decision to accept Christ as Savior. And then he turned to Paul and he said, "You almost persuade me to become a Christian." He was almost persuaded, but he made a choice. And he made the wrong choice. And as a result, it has eternal consequences. And so we're going to speak a little later in detail about that choice, because the choice that Agrippa made and the choice that Felix made is the same choice that each one of us are faced with, and you and I might be faced with that choice this morning. And the choice that you make, even this morning, it could have eternal consequences. But when it comes to choices, there's important choices that you and I have to make as believers as well. Choices that we have to make on a daily basis. I don't think this is our choices, the ones I'm going to bring up now. These are not choices that we can make once and then that's it for life. But as we get up day by day, there are important choices. You know, when I get up in the morning, I have to decide who I'm going to put first in my life that day. I can either put myself first or I can put God first. And it's important, if we're going to serve the Lord, then God has to be given the first place in our lives. Because if we don't give him the first place, then he doesn't really have any place at all. Because he is the one who is preeminent. And he is the one who needs the first place. But that's a choice that we have to make day by day. Am I going to live for myself or am I going to live for God today? And we have to make that choice. And then another choice that we're faced with on a daily basis is how we're going to treat others. And you know, that's important as well. When we get up, how are we going to treat others today? Are we going to show kindness to others? Are we going to act in a Christ-like manner in dealing with others? Or are we just going to be a grumpy old man or a grumpy lady and be hard to get along with and treat others harshly? How are we going to deal with others? Because I believe that God wants us to treat others with kindness. Another important choice, and especially for younger people, your choice of companions. So important. Because if you choose the wrong companions, if you choose the wrong friendships on a daily basis, then those companions and those friendships can lead you in the wrong direction. And so it's so important to decide, who am I going to associate with today? Who am I going to make my companions? Another choice that we make is our choice concerning purity. And I believe that that's something that we have to emphasize today. God wants you and I as his people to live lives that are pure. But if we're going to live pure lives, it involves choices. We have to make the choice to do it. You know, when you sit down in front of your computer, you make a choice for purity. You know, I can be sitting in front of my computer, and for some reason, on the one that I have at home, I keep having these little pop-ups come up. And the pop-ups will be inviting me to be impure. To be sexually impure. And it keeps coming up on the side of my screen. And so I have to make a choice. And I have to either click the little X at the top or click the little accept at the bottom. But you know what? I have to make that choice. And I need to pray daily that God will give me the strength and the ability to make the right choice and to choose purity. It's a choice that I have to make day by day. Another choice I have to make, and this is one of the ones that perhaps I have the most difficulty with, and that is how I'm going to use my time today. Man, there seems to be so much to do. My wife and I often talk about it. We have so many things to do. And so each day we have to make a choice. Am I going to use my time for things that are important, or am I going to just flitter it away, just waste it away? You know, there's so many time wasters today. Ways that we can just make the time go past. The game, the computer, is one of the greatest. Do you find it that way? You know, do you ever think of sitting down keeping a log of how much time you spend on the computer? You know, it used to be back in the old days, it was TV they'd hit. You know, how much time do you spend watching TV? Do you spend more time watching TV or do you spend more time studying your Bible? Which would take the most time? And how about the computer? Like, these are real things. You know, important choices. If we're going to make our lives count for God, then we have to make sure that we make the right choices. As believers. Now I want to go back then and just spend a few minutes on life's most important choice. And to consider life's most important choice, I would like to look at Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 9 to 15. Now I'm going to put them up on the screen, or you can look them up in your Bible. But Mark chapter 1, and we will read verses 9 to 15. And in verse 9 it says, "It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, 'You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' Immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. He was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.'" Now I read those verses to give you the context of what was going on. But really what I'm interested in most is the words of the Lord Jesus. And these are the first words that the Lord spoke that are recorded for us in the Gospel of Mark. And they're right at the end of verse 15 where the Lord says, "Repent and believe in the gospel." Now you notice that there are two actions that are required if you are going to carry out the command that the Lord Jesus gave the people in that day. First of all, there is a need to repent. And then there is a need to believe in the gospel. Now, I believe that your choice in order to carry out this command of the Lord Jesus, I believe that this is the most important choice that faces a man or a woman in life. Because the choice that we make as far as this command is concerned is going to determine our eternal destination. So the choice that we make as far as this command is concerned is going to have eternal consequences. And you notice that it has two parts. We are told to repent. And another scripture, the Lord says, except you repent, you shall perish. And so it's very important. Now, why is it that the Lord told the people to repent? What does it mean to repent? Well, to repent means to turn around. Repent means to go in an opposite direction. You see, the scripture is very clear. When you and I were born into this world, we were born in sin. In sin did my mother conceive me. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The scripture tells us that like sheep, we have all gone astray. We have taken our own way. And so it's as if we're walking in this direction and we're walking away from God. And we're walking in the direction that we want. And the Lord Jesus is saying to us, repent. In other words, turn from your own way and turn to me and take my way. And you know what? In order, if you and I are going to be saved, if we are going to have our sins forgiven, if we're going to spend eternity in heaven, then it's important for us to repent. And that is to turn from our own way and to turn to God's way. And then after, when we repent, then it says, believe in the gospel. You know, there is nothing like the gospel. I love the gospel. The gospel is the most important message that mankind can hear. To hear that there is hope. To hear that there is life in the Lord Jesus. I am so thankful that I ever heard the gospel. I hope you're thankful for the gospel. You know, sometimes people amaze me when I hear them talking about their past and you know, sometimes they're complaining about how they were raised and how strict their parents were, and they can go on and on and on, and sometimes you think, you should be so thankful. You know, I'm thankful that I was born into a family that believed in the gospel. I might have told you this before, but I'm going to tell you again anyway, because it's so important to me. But the gospel came into our home the year before I was saved. There was a gospel preacher that came into a little farming community down in southern Ontario. And he came into that community and he preached the gospel. He had a series of gospel meetings and he preached the gospel. I'm not sure for how long. And during that series of gospel meetings, first of all, my uncle and aunt, they were invited to go and hear the gospel. And at first they resisted it and they used every excuse they could dream up not to go and listen. And this person that was inviting them, it was actually their cousin, and she just kept calling them up and calling them up, and she didn't give up. And so finally my uncle said, look, why don't we just go once? And then he says, maybe she'll leave us alone. And so he went and he listened to the gospel, and God got a hold of him. And as a result of the gospel, my uncle repented. And he turned to the Lord Jesus and he believed the gospel. And what it did was it completely turned his life around. And his best buddy, his friend, was his brother who was going to be my dad. And they lived on farms side by side. And so after he would do the chores in the morning He would hike it across the fields. And he would come up to my dad, and as a new Christian, he would tell him about his need of the Savior. And so in the end, my dad got saved as well. And my aunt got saved. And another uncle and aunt got saved. And there was a number of people that got saved at that same time. They believed the gospel, and it completely revolutionized their life. It completely turned it around. You see, the gospel wasn't something that they just added to what they already had. No, when they believed the gospel, it was a real work of God in their lives. And it made a difference in their lives. And the gospel should make a difference in our lives. And God turned them around completely. And as a result, my father became a proclaimer of the gospel. He loved the gospel, and he thought that there was nothing more important than for his boys and his daughters to know that they were sinners and that Christ died for them and that they had a need of salvation. And so week after week, we would sit under the sound of the gospel. And as a result, as a boy, I came to know the Lord Jesus as Savior. And so I love the gospel. I owe everything to the gospel. I owe everything to the Savior. And I'm so thankful for the gospel. And that I made the decision as a child to repent and to believe the gospel. And so I want to ask you this morning, do you know the Lord Jesus as Savior? Have you had that time in your life when you believed the gospel? When you turned to the Lord Jesus and you accepted him as your own? And if you haven't, my friend, that's your most important need. And today the prayer of each one that's gathered here that knows the Savior would be that you would repent and that you would believe the gospel. That's the important choice. But of course, it's not the only important choice, but I believe that it is the most important choice. Because where you will spend eternity depends on your response to the gospel. Now, as I was thinking, though, about choices, I was thinking of how many Old Testament examples that we have of people making choices. And I would like to consider a few of them with you. And we'll just do as many as we can until it's quarter after, right, that you normally end. So we've only got 5 minutes, so we'll just do what we can do. But not sure why that last one's not showing up, right? That's supposed to be Joshua anyway. Can't read it. But there's so many choices, but I was thinking of, you know, different ones that made choices in the Old Testament and the results of the choices they made. And of course, you can't help but start with Adam and Eve. You know, with Adam and Eve, they had everything going for them, didn't they? You know, I don't think they had winter in the Garden of Eden. You know, it was a beautiful spot. And God had blessed them abundantly and given them everything. But you know what? They made a willful choice in the garden. They made a choice with their eyes wide open. And they willfully chose to disobey what they knew God had told them not to do. And you and I know that the results of that willful choice that they made were disastrous. It was not only disastrous for them, it was disastrous for their family, it was disastrous for all mankind. The choice that Adam and Eve made in the garden when they willfully decided to go against God's revealed will. And I would suggest that for you and I, it's the same. You know, God has given us his will. God has given us his word. And if you know of something in God's word, and you make the decision that you're going to go against it, then it's going to be disastrous. It was disastrous for Adam and Eve, and it will be for you and I as well. If God has revealed something in his word, then it's important that you and I that we obey it, because if we don't, then we're following the example of Adam and Eve. What a terrible choice they made. It even affected the whole of creation. And we're still feeling the effects of that today. And then the second one I was thinking of was Lot. Lot made a choice. I'm sure everyone is familiar with the story of Lot and the choice that he made. Lot was given a choice by his uncle Abraham. Abraham and Lot were it was uncle and nephew. Lot was the nephew of Abraham. And they both had a lot of sheep and they had a lot of servants. And it was getting that they had so much that it was impossible for them to live together any longer. And so Abraham took Lot out and he said, "Now Lot," he said, "I'll let you go first. You make a choice as to where you would like to live, and then I'll go in the opposite direction." And so Lot looked around, and he looked in this direction, and it was kind of a rugged country and didn't look all that great. And then he looked in the other direction, and it looked really nice. Green, well-watered, nice flat ground. And so greed took over. And Lot made a choice out of greed. And so he turned to his uncle Abraham and he said, "I'll take this." In other words, the well-watered plains. And you can have that. That didn't look all that great. And so Lot made the decision to move down into the plains. And he moved down in and he started living in Sodom. And I'm sure that everyone's familiar with the story. Because of the choice that Lot made, he lost everything. In the end, he lost all his possessions. He lost his wife. He lost his married children. They were destroyed with Sodom. And then even in the end, in a sense, he lost his two unmarried daughters and he committed an immoral act with them. And as a result of immorality with his own daughters, there were two children that were born. And those children became the fathers of nations that were enemies of Israel. Terrible choice that Lot made. Lots of people make terrible choices because of greed. And that's what happened to Lot. You know, Joseph, he's an example of someone that made a good choice. You know, Joseph is one of the finest characters that we can read of in the Old Testament. Do you remember Joseph? He made a choice when he was in the house of Potiphar. And Potiphar's wife wanted him to commit immorality. And Joseph made a good choice and he fled from Potiphar's house. Which reminds us of the scriptures when it says, "Flee youthful lusts." And that's exactly what Joseph did. And yet, it's most interesting because even though Joseph made such a good choice that, you know, it didn't seem to turn out that well at first. You ever had that happen where you think you're making a good choice and yet, man, it just doesn't seem to turn out. And it didn't for Joseph. He made the right choice and yet he ended up in prison. Imagine. That's quite a way of getting paid for your choice. You know, maybe Joseph at times when he's sitting there in prison, and I wonder if he ever thought, you know, the good guys come in last. I made the right choice and look at me. And then he met the butler in prison and he thought, well, maybe this is my way out. And then after the butler got released from prison, he forgot all about Joseph. I mean, there must have been times when he wondered about that choice that he made, and yet it was the right choice. But you see, God's ways are not always our ways. And so God was leading Joseph towards the throne of Egypt. And yet, the path that he was taking, like, how could Joseph ever understand? And yet, it was a good choice. And then the next two there, I just want to do the last two. I'll forget about Joshua. But the next two, Ruth and Orpah. Remember, they were sister-in-laws. And they both lost their husband, and they were with their mother-in-law, Naomi. And she was a godly old lady, and she was going back to her homeland. And so she had these two daughter-in-laws, and they were both going to go with her. And at one point, they stopped, and Naomi gave them some advice. And so she told them, she said, look, I'm going back to my homeland, but, you know, really the best thing for you to do is just, you know, you go back home. I have no, I don't have any more sons for you to marry, and what are you going to do? Like, you're better to go back home. And she pleaded with them just to go back home. And so you think, well, good advice. And these two young ladies were listening to her, and Orpah, she followed her advice. And you know what? We never read of her again. And yet Ruth went against her advice, didn't she? She did the opposite to what she's being advised to do. She made the opposite choice, and yet we know that in the end, that was God's choice. He wanted Ruth to go with Naomi. So choices sometimes aren't easy. Wasn't easy for Ruth. And at first, Naomi might have thought, well, it's her choice. I wouldn't do it. But in the end, it was the right choice. And as a result, she met her future husband there. And then she had a son. And then that son had a grandson whose name was Jesse. And he had a son whose name was David, who was King David. And then if you keep on going, you find out that because of the choice that Ruth made, she actually became one in the line of the ancestors of the Lord himself. An important choice. Now, the last one I want to mention is Rehoboam. Now, this guy wasn't so nice. Rehoboam was the son of King Solomon. And after King Solomon had died, then the kingdom went to Rehoboam. And Rehoboam made a decision. He made a choice. And as a result of his choice, the kingdom of Israel was divided. But the interesting thing that I found about Rehoboam, because I can see how he relates to a lot of situations in life. When Rehoboam was about to make his choice, he went to the advisors. And first of all, he went to his father's advisors. And he said to them, now, what should I do? And so his father's advisors gave him some good advice, but it wasn't what he wanted to hear. So he just turned away from it and he went to his buddies. He said to his buddies, what would you do? And they told him to do the opposite. And he liked it because that's what he wanted to do. And so when he finally got the advice that he wanted to do, then he said, okay, I'll make my choice. I'll go with my buddies. And as a result, it was a disaster. You know what? We've got to be careful of that as well. When we're wanting advice, just going to somebody and asking them, because we know that they agree with us. And that we're going to get the advice that we want to hear. Because that's what Rehoboam did. And it ended in disaster. Well, there's lots more that could be said, but I'm 5 over time. Sorry about that. But may God help each one of us to make the right choices. It's tough. And we have to make them every day. And we have to remember that the choices that we make can affect us for our whole life. Especially for those that are younger in here. Choices you make. Do you know that drug addicts, there was a time for every one of them when they chose to take drugs for the first time. And that choice has ruined their lives. Alcoholics, do you know that there was a time when they chose to take that first drink? And there was a time when they chose to go on a bender for the first time. And that choice, they've had to live with forever. So be careful of what choices you make, because they're so important. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful for every blessing. We're thankful for the Lord Jesus, our Savior, and for the salvation that he provided for us. And Lord, we just pray that each day you will help each one of us to make right choices and to put you first in our lives and to live according to your word. And if there are any here, Lord, that have never made that all-important choice, we pray that even today that they would accept the Savior, that they would choose him and find life. And so we just pray for your blessing. Remember again those who are sorrowing. We pray that you would comfort and sustain them today as we just commit all into your care. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.